This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Berryfield and Mike Regalado, and occasionally some friends, talking all things UCLA sports. And now, it's time for the What's Brewing Show.
Well, hello, and welcome to What's Brewing. I am your host, Jake Berryfield, and I'm coming to you maybe on a solo podcast. Maybe Mike might show up. Maybe Mike might call in. But that's all remains to be seen because he called me yesterday and said he was having a little bit of trouble getting over here to the What's Brewing studio up here in the North Valley. And he said, oh, yeah, we'll do it tomorrow, which would be Wednesday night. And here I am sitting in the What's Brewing studios all by my lonesome, listening to my dogs bark at coyotes and stuff, watching the Dodgers hopefully start a game, which they're going to, you know, beat the Gigantes again. But there is no Mike. I'm looking around for Mike. I'm wondering where he is, and this is all I'm getting. You know, and that's okay, you know, because sometimes, you know, we all got things that keep us occupied. But it is the What's Brewing Show on the What's Brewing Show Network. A bunch of great shows that occasionally record on one great feed, but this one records most of the time. And hopefully that's why you're listening. I did post a bare minimum the other day with me and my daughter, Megan. You know, we hadn't posted in a while.
The bare minimum.
And talk about her experiences on a softball trip that she didn't go on, thankfully, because it turned into a disaster. And also her softball nickname and just some other stuff going on with her in her, you know, the second spring semester for her up at Berkeley. And so that was fun. I enjoyed it, if you like listening to that kind of stuff. But also, Jamal is probably going to come back with the West Coast bias at some point.
Well, you're just all about the West Coast bias. You don't like the East Coast.
As the Lakers and Dodgers and the, you know, get all the Lakers wind down, the Dodgers wind up, and all the other West Coast sports that we have. But anywho, you're not listening to this for that right now. You're listening to the What's Brewing Show. What'sbrewingshow@gmail.com for emails. Please send us your thoughts on the state of UCLA athletics. I may or may not go on a rant in that regard in a few minutes. I don't know. I'm kind of feeling it right now. Also, you could email us about what you think is going to happen with, or what would you like to learn from UCLA football spring camp? Because it just started yesterday. We had like one day. So I think now it's been 2 days. But let us know your thoughts on that. Or tweet us at What's Brewing Show on Instagram, at What's Brewing Show. Threads, if you use that, at What's Brewing Show. Or on the Substack, whatsbrewing.substack.com. And you can also support the show for just a couple bucks.
$2.
Either on the Substack or on our Patreon, patreon.com/whatsbrewingshow or just whatsbrewingshow.com. And occasionally, we'll give you some extra content on there. We appreciate your support sending the What's Brewing Show into the future there. I have been slacking on my Malcast because, gee whiz, I have just been kept busy as a bee at work right now. And it's a shame, and I apologize to you guys, but it's just kind of, it's one of those things. You think you're slowing down. In fact, it's just all ramping up, and I just can't seem to find the time. But we will rectify that. You can also get your WBS merch on a My Locker site. Look at the notes to this podcast for that, as well as you can call the What's Brewing hotline, 805-399-4WBS, second reign of Troy. Those guys are great. We love them, but they can still suck it. So with that being said, why don't we get to seeing whether or not Mike will be here. Maybe he comes, maybe he doesn't. But I want to start with a little bit of a state of the union for UCLA athletics at this point. And, you know, with the women's basketball team going out in the Sweet 16 of the NCAA basketball tournament and the men's not even making it, for shame, you know, I think we need to start with sometimes it's hard to be a Bruin, because it is sometimes.
Sometimes it's hard to be a Bruin. Team.
So here we are. It's April 3rd, 2024, in the year of our Lord, 2024. And the basketball season has now come to a close for both the men and the women. This year's football season is done. We're already looking forward to next year. And the Bruins are winding down their spring seasons. I guess we're right in the middle of a couple of them. But I just am trying to think of, you know, a worse time for overall a Bruin fan since we've been doing the What's Bruin show for sure, and just like since I've really been a student, it just always felt like there was multiple things to kind of get geeked up and excited for as far as UCLA sports. But right now we're just seriously in a real, like, like a barren state and a real dry spell, so to speak. And there's just a lot of like transition and wondering what's going to come next and what's the next big thing going to be. And I think a part of that is just because, you know, think about the sports that we think about most when we get to UCLA, and it's just not happening right now, or it's very, very tenuous. And I don't want to be, you know, a Debbie Downer about all this stuff, but it's just like we're starting spring football practice, but we're going into a season with a new head coach that's never been a head coach before, a completely new staff, and they're going into a transitional, you know, a transition to a new conference. And really on the bright and sunny side of UCLA football, like if the Bruins got to 7 or 8 wins, most fans would be ecstatic with that, right? And I know that some of that could be explained away with, well, it's the first year of a head coach and, you know, and they're rebuilding all that stuff, and that's fine. But still, like in a vacuum, you know, we're getting excited about the possibility of overachieving to 7 or 8 wins for UCLA football in a given year. That is just a depressing thing. And I hope that they get stuff turned around. And I hope as we talk about, you know, the upcoming season that we can get more excited about it. But this is just, it's not enough at this point. It's not, I mean, after all those years of Chip Kelly, you know, I've kind of lost my UCLA football mojo.
I lost my mojo.
And, you know, we need to, for them to get it back. But it's not all just in a vacuum, because it's not just football. And yeah, we can, you know, hope springs eternal and we're hoping for better things next year, but that's not where we're at right now. You know, we need a lot of things to go right for us to get excited about UCLA football. In fact, people are so not excited about UCLA football, we're coming off of, you know, 3-4 years of record low attendance, especially this last season, and, you know, the depths to which it was brought by good old Chip Kelly, right? So that's certainly a program that needs to kind of be reborn from the ashes of where it is. And then you look at men's basketball, and certainly I think all of us love Mick Cronin.
Mick Cronin's done a hell of a job this year.
But, you know, he tried to reload this year and ended up 16-17, 10-10 in conference, and out of the NCAA tournament. You know, that's going to happen occasionally for UCLA men's basketball. You know, I think we can all acknowledge that, but it doesn't make it, you know, fun at the time. And God help us if, you know, this is not an aberration and more of a sign of things to come in the new era of how things are happening with the NIL and all that stuff. And look, Mike's going to come on in a few minutes and we'll get started. Like, we just got a nice little, some nice transfer news for UCLA basketball. So that's great. But this season certainly did leave us wanting more. And it's just, like I said, just kind of keeping me still in the mode of, geez, man, this has been a rough, you know, few months for UCLA athletics.
Really? UCLA was a lot worse than I thought.
Then you turn your head over to the, you know, the up and coming sport, right? Mike actually said that, you know, he used the phrase, the three major sports, referring to college football, men's basketball, and he was including women's basketball in that. And certainly that's not something you have generally been able to argue in the past, as far as like just like the biggest college sports. But gee whiz, this is like the biggest year for women's college basketball, maybe ever, as far as like popularity goes and the exposure it's getting, you know, thanks to Caitlin Clark and a lot of great teams across the country, and in large part the Pac-12, and all the talent out here. And it's great. This is great for women's college basketball, but where is UCLA and all that? Oh, another season in which they hit the Sweet 16 and then get bounced. You know, and we're going to talk about that more with Mike, but the biggest story coming out of the tournament for UCLA isn't the UCLA women. It's a reporter getting over his skis with some language and then having to apologize for it, which was, you know, much ado about nothing, but still, like, that's what is memorable about UCLA basketball in the last couple of weeks, right? A team that had a pretty darn good season, but once again comes up short. And, like, where does that leave us, right? Wanting more.
Where is the energy and excitement coming from with UCLA?
I mean, we could have Leo, the library guy, on here, and I'm sure he would tell us that, you know, currently, right now, in the 2023-24 season, UCLA women's water polo is number one in the country, or at least they finished that way, right? Beach volleyball, number one. Men's water polo, number two. men's volleyball, number two, women's golf, number four, women's basketball, which I already talked about, ended up finishing six. Gymnastics, number nine. You know, there's a lot of teams. You know, UCLA's got 21 varsity teams, and I want to say 14 of them finished the season or are currently ranked, right? But when you talk about what we really actually think about day-to-day with UCLA athletics, I mean, yeah, we take pride in the gymnastics. And, you know, Bill just went to men's volleyball with the Twins this last weekend, and that's great. That's awesome. But, you know, the football, the basketball, that's where it's at. Even like baseball, which UCLA has had, you know, more success in baseball in the last 10 years than it's ever had before in its history. And the baseball team is 11-15 right now and just seemed to be really, really, slumping compared to where it had been under Savage. Even UCLA softball, seemingly the last 10 years as reliable as it gets. You know, they already this season have 8 losses, and we're not even halfway through the season, I don't think, right? I mean, the last time UCLA had, in the last, 6 years, they've had more than 7 losses in the season only one time, right? So, and look, that doesn't mean that UCLA softball won't finish the year with a big year, and we're going to be following that as we, you know, head into the time of year when that's really one of the only things to watch. But just the point being is, I don't know why, but, or, you know, I'm telling you why. It just feels like the athletic department is kind of in a down cycle right now, and they got to get it turned around. And the way it gets turned around is by getting your flagpole programs turned around, the ones that bring the most people out to the program, the ones that generate the most buzz and money. And right now, you can make, you know, it's definitely football, A number one, men's basketball under Cronin. And I think we're all confident he will bounce back, but he's still going to do it. And women's basketball, which is at a high level, but needs to break through at some point, you know, and they got to get it going. It's a new conference. There's new challenges, of course. Everything with college sports is seemingly changing right now, especially with the sports that generate money. There is a huge opportunity here for UCLA to reestablish themselves if they get themselves on the right footing. But right now, they're not there. And here's hoping that they can get it together and kind of seize the moment. With all these things coming together. All right, I'm done. I think I located Mike, so let's bring him on.
Didn't you say in your resume that you did 4 years at UCLA?
Yes. Technically, if you consider Bel Air an extension of the campus, which everybody does.
All right, well, I have managed to round up one, Mike Regalado.
Mike Regalado.
He's here with us on the What's Brewing Show hotline, remote from his from Casa de Mike.
Morning.
Hello. It's evening now, Mike, but that's okay. It's been a whirlwind, hasn't it? How are you doing, bud?
It's morning somewhere. Yeah, no. I've been through a hellish 24 hours, so I don't know what day it is.
We're pulling for you,
still
buddy.
Still on planet Earth, right?
Yes.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Still on planet Earth apparently.
Yeah.
And but yeah, now one sport ends, another begins, Jake. That's where we're at.
Wait, which one's beginning? Sorry, I hit that wrong. Are we talking about football, or are we talking about, let's just do the Brofila headlines, and then, whatever. Here's your Brofila headlines with Mike.
Well, two quick ones. UCLA has their first transfer out, the UCLA from the men's basketball team.
Boo.
As Elon Fabliou is moving on, and that's unfortunate because I liked him. I thought he was very active, very aggressive. Don't know why he had pretty much non-existent minutes in the second half of the season, probably more like 2/3, but he's gone. But
Married.
UCLA quickly fills up a spot because he's French. Oh. Sky Clark has committed to UCLA, the former Louisville Cardinal who had put his name in the transfer portal recently. Got hit up by UCLA pretty hard, had his official visit this this weekend, and committed. Yeah. So.
Well, that's awesome.
This guy is very he has 2 years of eligibility left. He is very active. He reminds me of like a quicker Sebastian Mack to compare it to someone on the team now. Just quicker, smarter, like very good passing. Not to say that Sebastian Mack is not smart, but just, you know, you develop, you grow the IQ. But no, this is a pretty exciting guy who can shoot from distance, and also he can slash. So that's good on the UCLA front. But so far, no other news about movements from players. It was hoped that Adem Bona would make a decision about staying or going to the testing out the waters at the very least for the NBA draft. But that hasn't happened yet. So that's actually it with men's basketball. Haven't talked about them in a while.
Yeah, no kidding. So Sky Clark, he's played at multiple places before, yeah?
Yes. Where was he at before? Illinois, I believe.
Yeah, Illinois, Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And now he's coming back home.
Well, that's cool. Well, I hope he's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, what else? Anything?
That's it for actual headlines, because we're going to talk at length about a little bit of football, a little bit of women's basketball.
All right. Mm-hmm. So you say. We'll see. We'll see what we actually get to. But here, there's the end of the headlines. All right. Well, for the last time this season, let's get to the women's basketball. Women's.
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 Women's. Women's basketball.
Basketball.
What a shame. Sometimes it's hard to be a Bruin, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's hard to be a Bruin.
Giving all your love to just one team. What a shame. What a shame. UCLA falls to the reigning national champion LSU Tigers. Isn't that right, Mikey?
The one-time national champion, because they're out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. They're not reigning. You're right. You're right, brother.
Took them down.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Yeah. So they were the reigning national champions.
Yeah,
now they're not.
But LSU got a parting shot in a very good game against UCLA. But yeah, they eventually did succumb to Caitlin the Great, as she put up 41 points. Had 9 3-pointers, and a lot of them from like half court, not literally, but yeah, that's how much of an impact this person and team has made. We're actually talking about this on a UCLA podcast, but I just wanted to shout that out. Why not? You didn't want Iowa to win?
No, I did. No, UCLA lost, and I turned the page.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
Do I care what Zach Edey does either? No, get the hell out of here.
Sorry, go ahead.
I care about Alabama in the Final Four? No. We're here to talk UCLA sports, Mike. I could care less about all this crap. Don't tell me how great this tournament is. It sucked. The women are out in the Sweet 16. The men didn't even qualify. This is the crappiest basketball year that I can remember in a long time, Mike. Nothing good at the end of the day.
I'm enjoying it.
Oh, whatever. Whatever with you.
I am, dude.
I'm
going to
buy you a Caitlin Clark autograph, something
UConn
or other.
UConn USC game?
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, at least they lost.
UConn just beat the crap out of USC towards the end. USC just didn't have enough, you know. Juju Watkins really good, but yeah, those are two freaking exciting games. I'm sorry, that's my business, so I have to delve into that. So.
That's fine, Mike. But what happened to the UCLA women? Tell me.
Well,
why did it go so wrong, Mike? You said they need to come away this season with some sort of accomplishment, and they ended up accomplishing doodly squat, nothing. Why,
nothing.
Mike? Say it isn't so. Nothing. Please tell me it'll be okay.
Oh yeah, it will be fine. Okay. The fact that this is the best roster that Corey Close. Oh yeah, dude. Don't worry about it. Chill. the fact that this is the best roster Corey Close has doesn't mean it's going to be the last. Sure, she once again didn't get past the Sweet 16, but I mean, I wasn't upset for that long, you know. Covering this team, whether you're a fan or not, they've had a really exciting year, and it's a very good year. It's just not a great year. But I was thinking about it, and I have an article coming out. UCLA has been just good, and still they've been pretty impressive and gone to Sweet 16s and all that. And yes, with this roster and with all their they made history this year. They hit number 2 in the AP poll. They were the number two seed, highest ever for both categories. And this is with...
How'd they finish in conference, Mike?
Tied for second.
How about the Pac-12 tournament?
That was the best finish that they've had. Pac-12 tournament is always crazy. I mean, last year it was what? Number three, Washington State, and number five, UCLA in the championship game. So, yeah, so those have been interesting. The regular season champ hasn't... God, how many times? It's not every season that the champ wins the tournament as well. But either way, it was rough. It was rough. Especially because UCLA and LSU were going back and forth for a good portion of that second half. Where are they? 13 lead changes. Score was tied 8 times. And UCLA had a lead late and just could not hold on to it. It was deflating. It hurt. It was painful. But it did show me that UCLA was able to run with the champs. And with the core of this team, you know, Charisma Osborne officially announced that she's going to the WNBA. Cameron Brown is not going to be with the team anymore. But you have all these sophomores that have all this experience. They're going to be juniors next year in the core of this team. That's insane. And the fact that they have 3 5-star players and 1 international standout coming in. Yeah, I wasn't sad for that long. You know, yeah, I did say that this would not be a successful season, and it isn't. It's just it's a season full of really good wins. And since this is the first of the next chapter, as I believe, in the Corey Close saga, we're just going to see UCLA go further and further. That is my prediction.
Further and further, like, where do you think they stack up in the Big Ten next year? Just give me 2 sentences.
I think they'll finish in the top 4.
Okay. If you aren't one of the people thinking that Corey Close should be questioned as to whether or not she should stay at the helm of this team, because I think that's what you're saying. I think you're like, yeah, let it ride, run it back again with her. And I'm not disagreeing with that statement. But if that's the position you're taking next year, is there something that they could not do that would make you think that, well, maybe they do need a change at head coach? Or is there some sort of marker that they have to accomplish to make you think that? Or where are you at with her career as the UCLA basketball coach? Is it even close to being something where they should examine maybe looking for someone else? Or are you like, this is a rock solid program, they just haven't broken through yet? Where are you?
I mean,
you
make a good point, but how do you fire a coach that has won 27 games in 5 of the last 8 seasons? I think that's the number. You know, gone to 6 Sweet 16s in the last 8 years. The only drawback is that, yeah, she hasn't won any hardware. No regular season championship. No player of the year. No tournament championship. No Final Four. At least an Elite 8. Just to say, yes, we were able to get back there.
They haven't been able to the hump at all, right? Yeah.
Yeah. But they also had some other, which may be subjective, some other accomplishments, as I said earlier, as they were number 2 in the country for 8 straight weeks, and they had the number 2 seed, the highest ever. That's something to build on, and that's something that hasn't happened before, or at least in abundance. So that's why I just see that this team is getting better. And yeah, just looking at who's, you know, Caitlin Clark is not going to be at Iowa. They were second in the Big Ten. Ohio State should still be pretty good, and UCLA beat them on their home court. I definitely think that UCLA could be very successful in the Big Ten. The problem is they just have to
under
go out
close
and prove it.
Yeah, under close, you're saying.
Yeah, totally.
And I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I kind of land on the side that you're landing on, and saying that you shouldn't try to fix something that's not necessarily broken. However, if it goes year to year to year, and they keep bringing in these recruiting classes filled with tons and tons of talent, and the only thing they have to show for it is no conference titles, no conference tournament titles, and getting bounced in the NCAA tournament year after year after a couple games. At some point, that's going to add up to what are we doing here?
It's
going to
wear thin.
But yeah, I'm not exactly there yet, and I don't think that the Bruin fans should be either, especially considering that this is I don't think you could – I don't know, Mike. Do you think this team, even though they didn't collect any of the hardware you wanted them to, could you classify this as an underachieving year other than the fact that they didn't go as far as they wanted to in the tournament? But that's, to me, always kind of a crapshoot anyway. Like, given how many other good teams there were in the Pac-12, you know, did they underachieve this year by not winning the Pac-12? Or is it just one of those things where it's like what the par was they needed to be competing for the Pac-12 with these other powerhouse teams. And that was a kind of a mission accomplished. And I know we're kind of retconning what we wanted before, you know, the season started and the middle of the season, but it's still like looking back, I don't think it's really fair to them to look at it another way, but correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know if I'm kind of going off there.
No, it's just that is the thing. And I know you see it on social medias. People get frustrated. And you know how much of that frustration is actually warranted for the women's team? Are people just mad about men's basketball and football? They should be, but still, that's besides the point.
Yeah.
It did seem that this is like, okay, this is the best team UCLA has right now. How far can they go? And honestly, like, if this was UC Santa Barbara or like even like maybe Washington or Nebraska, and they did the exact same thing at UCLA that Corey Close is doing, they would probably be heralded every year. Sweet 16s, hell, let's do that. We don't usually do that. Actually, don't know the histories of
those other random schools. You pulled?
A few of them, yeah. But yeah, just you know, at least teams that are like mid conference right now. Well, I guess they wouldn't be mid conference if they had Corey Close's record, which actually says something. It's like if you had this record and you're going to the Sweet 16, most programs schools would absolutely love that.
Well, and I think part of this too is this year in particular, it's kind of hard for the women's basketball team to slide under the radar because in a lot of ways they became the flagpole that a lot of UCLA fans were having for this year. Like, this is the year of the renaissance. It's not even a renaissance. It's like the peaking, at least so far, of what women's college basketball has been like in its history, you know, right. It's the most popular it's ever been. Everybody's talking about how great the, this has been for college basketball as a whole and the publicity for it, you know, and it's actually this year for the first time I can think of, doesn't seem like it's something that's being shoehorned or propped up. It's legitimately people are interested in it. Right. And that's a cool thing. That's a great thing. But because, and, you know, I talked about this before I brought you on, Mike, how much many of UCLA's programs, especially the tentpole programs, are struggling right now, or at least have this season. You know, UCLA fans couldn't get excited about UCLA football this year because of how it all played out. So they're looking at women's basketball. UCLA men's basketball, you know, fans couldn't get excited about how the UCLA men's basketball season went because it was so up and down and then finally down. So we're looking towards women's basketball. It's like, that's the thing. You know, baseball is terrible. Softball is losing more games than it has in years. You know, it's like women's basketball was where we were kind of hanging our hat this year, and it kind of fell flat, you know, even though they had a, you know, quote unquote good season. You know, the Sweet 16 just doesn't cut it because this is the one that we were all just like, well, maybe we'll do this year. But, you know, it's kind of like, nope, I guess we got to hope that softball gets it turned around because there's not really anything left to root for if you're a UCLA fan in 2023/2024, right? I mean, is that misguided? But that's kind of how I feel. And I kind of feel like how deflated we are about UCLA, a lot of the sports UCLA all around, kind of led us to pin our hopes on this UCLA basketball, women's basketball team.
Exactly. Especially after the loss, that one meme from Star Wars Episode One, where Obi-Wan is yelling at Anakin, "You were the chosen one."
Oh yeah.
I didn't post it, but that was in my head like for 2 days. I was like, damn it. So close. God. So freaking close, man. But still, okay, so just really quickly.
What a shame. What a shame.
UCLA in that game against LSU, like they battled. Like they tried to get it into Lauren Betts early. And shooting was horrible in the first half. Then in the second, you know, London Jones is all of a sudden hitting shots. Charisma Osborne is hitting threes, bringing this thing closer. And at one point, you know, taking leads. They just didn't have it at the end. And, yeah, you know, a lot of people make fun of LSU, specifically Mulkey. And people give the Bayou Barbie crap. And it is warranted, I got to say, because...
Hater alert.
But no, actually, no. She balled out. You can't hate what she's done for that. And also, Flajae Johnson. Like, I was watching the game with Violet, and Violet was like, dear. We were both more fixated on Johnson. Like, they just played a brilliant game of basketball. And especially down the stretch, Angel Reese fouled out. And then there was, like, those antics or whatever. But you know what? At the same time, that's basketball. This is what I've thought basketball needs. Rivalry, chippiness, teams that you're not, you know, exactly sure of. Teams that are having the Washington Post write articles about your head coach. This is what women's basketball has needed, you know? We came from the era of basketball where you could clothesline a guy in the NBA playoffs and you just get thrown to the locker room for halftime, you know.
Yeah,
I'm referencing the
Rambus McHale
Parrish on.
It was Rambus McHale. McHale close line Rambus.
Rambus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
McHale. Bitch, yeah, McHale.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a foul.
That's ingrained in my memory.
I think he shot two free throws. That's it.
Exactly. We don't need that type of physicality, violence. But the physicality, and that's the thing. A lot of people were saying that women's basketball isn't physical. We saw during the Pac-12 tournament how physical things were. I mean, there were women's basketball players getting black eyes and stitches and punched noses. This is a physical game. It's really fun. It's really fun. UCLA couldn't stick it out. That was the last game Charisma Osborne ever played. But as I said before, there is a lot to be happy about. As I said, I wasn't depressed very long thinking about when I started writing that article. I'm like, wait, this is just one season. They have so much more coming up. And bro, this is something that hasn't been done previously, especially in the years prior to COVID.
I think that's a good way to frame it, Mike, too. And it's like, we wanted something they could put in the trophy case, but you know, you are pointing out that they still had a season in which they hit some markers that they hadn't hit before. And that is, it's not the progress we were hoping for. It's not the thing that you can go around kind of bragging about, because you kind of sound like a tool and you're like, oh yeah, UCLA basketball. Yeah. They were number two in the middle of the season for, you know, more weeks than they ever had been. You know, it's not the best, you know, it's not something you can brag about, but it's still a sign of something that they did right. And you know, just look at how competitive they were through most of the season and how they stacked up against the other big teams. I mean, they were a good team. And you know what? When you're talking about a good team amongst other good teams, there's no guarantees about anything, right? And that game against LSU, they were right there. They had an opportunity to win it, and they came up short. But it's not like they got to the Sweet 16 and then got pounded, you know, by 20, 30 points or something like that. So they're, you know, it's not as bad as it feels in the moment when we're all like, oh my gosh, you suck balls. This is Suck Balls Mountain, you know. Where'd it go?
You're king. Oh my god, my guys suck balls. You know it.
If I suck balls, you are king of Suck Balls Mountain.
It's not that bad. You know, it's bad. It hurts. It sucks. But it's not that bad. Now, Mike, you know, I'm almost done with this basketball talk. I'm getting close to where this is going to be the mantra of the show for the next 9 months.
I would like to avoid the basketball shows for as long as possible.
But
oh, hell no.
I want to quickly just go through the ladies that are on this particular roster this year. And you're like, mm-hmm. okay, they're coming back. I'm excited.
Oh, my head. They're moving on. I got that. I started doing that today.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you one. In fact, number one, Kiki Rice, sophomore, 5'11".
Okay.
Coming back? Feeling good?
She's, Oh, yeah.
Cornerstone of the team?
Yeah.
Okay,
her
good.
And Lauren Betts.
Lauren Betts, coming back? She is a what?
Oh, yeah.
What? She's a
both of them. Sophomore. Both of them will be juniors. Yeah.
Going to be a junior. Next year. Okay, very good, very good. Mm-hmm. Okay, what about London Jones? Another going to be a junior.
Coming back.
Emily Bossoir, senior, 6'4".
Not sure. She re-injured her ACL. She does have 1 year of eligibility left. And if she could come back, that would be awesome because she is an awesome stretch four. You know, I was excited for Bossoir to be a post player that can hit three-pointers. And then we got Angela Dugalich. So if both of them, which by the way, well, I'll let you bring it up. But yeah, Bossoir, not sure yet. She did walk on senior day, but she does have 1 year of eligibility left.
Gotcha. Charisma is Audi 5000.
She's heading to the WNBA.
Lena Sontag, she's going to be a junior, 6'3".
She's coming back, yep.
Okay, and I think another one that we're very concerned with, old Gabriella Jaquez.
Coming back.
That's good, right? That's real good. And then what did you say about Dugalich? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she walked on senior night, has a year of eligibility, didn't say if she was coming back or not, but I had a lot of people, especially people from the Daily Bruin, uh-huh. who were like, oh, I missed an article they had with her. And yeah, apparently in that article, Dugalich confirms that she is returning.
Oh, that's nice. And then you said that, you know, there's Christina Walla.
Yeah.
She's coming back as well. And then there's a couple other folks there.
Yeah.
But who are they bringing in? You're talking about, you know, closest big recruiting class. Who are they adding to this mix?
The international standout guard, Elena Arasalo, Avery Kane guard, Kendall Dudley, who also went to Sidwell Friends School with Kiki Rice. She's a wing, as well as forward Zanya Soka Newman. Pretty sure I screwed up that name, but she also went
right.
to I think she went to Sidwell Friends as well. So
wow.
Yeah, Corey Post is creating a pipeline with the DC school.
Interesting.
But yeah, no, Kane Dudley and Zania are all American players. So, you know, unlike Arizalo, she doesn't get a rating, but the other three, 5-star rated from ESPN's Hoop Girl recruiting rankings.
Wowza. Okay. Well, with all that being said, you know, sometimes it is hard to be a Bruin. Sometimes it is hard when the Bruins you're rooting for make the Sweet 16 and then flame out. But there are, you know, there are a lot of reasons not to get down on UCLA women's basketball as a whole right at this moment,
mm-hmm.
even if this doesn't feel like the best moment in time for this particular squad. Is that all fair to say, Mikey?
Yes.
All right. Well, let's move on.
And then for... Oh. Really quickly, last thing.
Jesus
Close
Mike.
Has a 2025. She has one 2025 commit. 6'4" forward, 5-star, Sienna Betts.
Just a baller, man.
Is that Lauren's mm-hmm. sister?
Yep.
Well,
and she's a 5-star locked into UCLA right now. So
and
yeah,
that,
even past this is what, so far is looking good.
So that would be an overlap too if Betts hung around for a senior season.
Yes.
If.
Kind of like a Jaime Gabriella situation.
Only on the same team. Which would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
But we got to, mm-hmm. it'd be more like an O'Bannon.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, because they're actually.
On the same team playing with each other. That's okay. Let's not put the cart before the horse. Let's just cross our fingers and hope. Okay, good. Mikey.
Yeah.
Can we stop talking about women's basketball now? Not that I, you know,
Fine.
Not that I didn't enjoy it. I did enjoy it. It's
no,
great.
We
love you, Nancy.
To talk
this
about.
Is wonderful.
That's what you're excited about. You want to talk about football.
I'm not really. It's just spring camp. I'm not really.
I do too. I can't wait to get out there.
Yeah. It's yeah. So we'll see. Let's
I just want to I want to see the accessibility. I want to see the we're probably not going to see a lot of formations, but
right, Mike, you know, Mike, just, Mike, you know, Mike,
get back out there.
Be quiet.
Just ready.
I'm gonna, let me do the segment first. You son of a bitch. All right, hold on. All right, as Mike just led us into, UCLA football started spring camp yesterday, and now they've got a couple practices under their belt. Mikey, have you been to a practice yet?
I have not. My day is Saturday, but
fun.
Yeah, if you want updates on what's going on in these first 2 days, Tuesday and Thursday, check out Bruin Report. Subscribe. Hi, do it now.
That's right. And there's been a couple changes to what spring practice has been in the last number of years under, you know, this guy.
Chip Kelly can kind of be a dick.
It's a little more open, right? And by a little, I mean a lot. What is this general dynamic of practice, spring practice right now? If I were just a, you know, a fan that wanted to see them run around and hit each other a little bit, could I just drive down to UCLA and observe if I got there at the right time of day?
Yep.
Where would I be going if practice I did that?
Practice starts at 8:30, parking lot 8. Go to the edge of lot 8 that looks over into Spalding Field, and you will be able to see everything.
Well, that's pretty cool. It's kind of fun.
And from what I've been told on the being actually on the field, you know, the space is a little bit bigger. And there's just more accessibility. You know, there's nothing hiding. It isn't as quick-tempoed and militant as Chip Kelly style. The periods are longer, which means fewer actual periods, but it seems like they're really going over what they need to go over in each specific period. So I'm going to get a firsthand look at that on Saturday. So I will report back next week and let you know exactly what I get from the field from it. But there's just from what people are saying, there's just a different vibe right now, and that's it's really good. It's really good. They're going to need that.
I'm curious what it will look like. I'm curious to see what it will translate into. Obviously, this is a huge transition for UCLA football as a whole, and you know they kind of put themselves behind the eight ball considering how they handled the end of the 2023 season. I heard that Eric Bieniemy was out there, a real fireball energy, yelling at people and stuff. Have you heard any of that at all yet, Mike? I know you're going to witness it coming up on Saturday.
Oh yeah, totally. Like it's just different. Like vocalization, as I said, not as like cut and dry. Where Chip Kelly just had everything precise. Eric Bieniemy is new to this program, and he wants to put his name on it, and he wants the guys to know how he coaches, and that's fine because he's the OC. Things go through him now, and there's a new regime, so I'm down. Get at him. You know, we heard a lot of the defensive coaches do that. So now that it's on the offensive side, shit, you know, let's do it.
Yeah, I'm real curious to see how it's going to work out with Bieniemy. Oh, you know, I am hoping that he is going to coach in the way in which he has coached for the last 20 years and the things that have made him effective, right? That's been one of my concerns about bringing in this particular staff and how they brought them in is, are these guys going to be motivated to give it their best effort? So, I mean, if I heard that he was all subdued and calm and not Eric Bieniemy-like, that would be a warning sign for me. If he's kind of a chap ass getting after everybody, then I'm like, okay, that's what I kind of want to see. Whether it's a good or a bad thing and whether it's productive for this particular team, who the hell knows? But at least it's not, you know, some sort of curveball or something. Mikey, you told me about, you know, before we got on, you're telling me how they put the names on the back of the uniforms and stuff. You want to talk about just kind of like indicators that the changing of the culture for the team, and whether you think that's good or bad. What were you getting at with that?
Just how accessible he's making UCLA. You know, when I first heard I guess it could sound like getting at the last guy. But it really wasn't. He was just talking about how, you know, why things don't have to be secretive. You know, he wants the media, the fans that are there watching to know who they're watching with the names on the back. Just something to just have the players and the program stand out a little bit more in just a small, a short time. Yeah, sure. He still has to go out and get some W's, but he's bringing some life back into this program with actually very little effort. I just wanted to see what you thought about all this.
Yeah, no, it makes sense to me that they're going to zig at some of the things that were more unpopular under the previous regime, especially since they are trying to rebuild some, you know, fan commitment and some goodwill for the program. And I mean, they have to start by kind of like trying to mend some of the bridges that were burned down by Kelly with the media and with fans in general. So I don't know if that's pointing to a changing culture, you know, for the actual team. And by the way, I don't know if the football culture of the team needed to change. I think that's one of the positives that Chip Kelly actually brought. So I'm hoping that they don't, I'm hoping that they maintain some of the things that were positives under Kelly. But as far as like all the unforced errors and the being secretive when they didn't need to be and the alienating the media and fans when they didn't need to, if they're making that a point of emphasis, early in this offseason when they have the opportunity to do that, then by all means, that's pointing to something at least that's, you know, it's positive, at least for our experience as fans. You know, I'm worried about how they're going to be on the field because there's so many question marks. But, you know, even if you want to have an optimistic or a pessimistic view of how that's going to be next year, that's one thing as far as what the actual football will look like. But as far as what they do around the football, I mean, I think these are all good signs. So I do like that for sure.
It's just, even for stuff like catching little things like number changes or position switches or, you know, stuff like that. Just, yeah, it's just so much more convenient for, you know, the media, for the fans, for even the coaches to go, oh, damn, you know, player X, you know, injured. Oh, they're better. You know, just or you know, player Z. You know, that was an amazing catch. You can just see. Obviously, it's not that hard to memorize numbers to know who's who, especially when you follow it as much as we do. But you know, there aren't people that follow it as much as we do. And to see, you know, some guy who probably will play minimal minutes, you know, have a great catch during practice. You know, that's another thing. For some of these guys, it's a chance for them to prove what they've got. And a lot of them will probably be scout team players, not play much. So, you know, it's just good to get that extra recognition. So, I don't know. It just makes it easier, too.
And they do need it to make it easier for fans to engage with UCLA football right now in this moment because it sucks. It's unfortunate. I really grouse when I hear people talking about, oh, UCLA doesn't really have a pulse in the Los Angeles sports scene, you know, and people make that argument all the time and they compare it to UCLA, I mean, to USC football and things like that. And in the past, I could very easily make an argument that, no, you know, maybe UCLA football is not as popular as USC football overall in the Southland, but it had a giant, very vibrant fan base of its own always for the last 100 years, pretty much, right? I mean, from, you know, I can't speak for 100 years, but I mean, at least since like the 1950s, 1940s, it's been a thing in LA, and it was its own entity with its own accomplishments in its own right, all the way through the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, even the 2000s had a couple moments, and we did have a couple moments under Moore in the 2010s, but in the last 5 or 6 years, it has been brought low and the fans aren't going and it's getting, you know, and it's been a really rough time for us as fans. And a lot of that was due to the way that Kelly managed the program. Right. And so that's certainly one of the bad things that has happened. So it's a long way of saying that I'm glad they're trying to do things to get us more engaged because they need to get people more engaged with the program. They don't need to get us, me and you, more engaged with the program. We're pretty engaged as it is. We weren't going nowhere. But
a little bit.
I don't want to see 20,000 people at the Rose Bowl anymore or 30,000, right? I mean, it needs to get back to where it was. And, you know, part of that is how it's going to be on the field. But part of that definitely is how you advertise the program in all these different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you reach out to your fan community and try to get some positive response? How do you interact with the media? So that's really, in my opinion, at this point of the offseason, the only thing they could really get right or screw up. Otherwise, we're not going to know anything about after this football camp. You know, there's me guys speculating, oh, I think Garber's looked really good, and I think Justin Martin's number three, and I think that, this guy's number two or whatever, and J. Michael, he looks so healthy, and da-da-da-da-da, and maybe some guys get hurt, hopefully not, and maybe some guys come back and play. We're still not going to know shit about this team at all after spring football practice. We're going to, it'll all be mad speculation, but we will know how we're being treated by the UCLA administration, how much access reporters are given, how well they pull off the spring football game as an event, and what they do to make that enjoyable for the fans that do want to come out there. So, I mean, all those are things that they can get right now. As far as the actual football, who the hell knows?
It just, this whole program just needed a shot in the arm. And that's what we're seeing so far. It would be good to see more. I do like,
I don't want to see Dante Moore anymore, Mike. I want him to sit on the bench in Oregon. F that guy.
You know what I thought? UCLA just has to step it up somehow. And it's not just the football team, like the men's basketball team, the women's basketball team. They have to brand themselves. Yes, UCLA is a brand, but it's also... and now with Jumpman and Jumpman being the logo on the football field, that's something. There just has to be a little bit more. How does UCLA step forward and say, we're going to grab your attention, people in the Big Ten, people in the SEC, because we're going to be that good. They're not going to be that good right now, but they need to do more. They need to almost like organize their branding. Like Oregon does a very good job of, promoting their, Puddles Their Duck, their colors. I mean, they just put out this post about what the color scheme is for every game next year. UCLA men's basketball can't even do a stripe out because they can't get half the people there. It's like, that's, when you have the product and when you're more welcoming, yes, that's awesome. And when you have more wins, yes. But you also have to go and, show that this is something, this is entertainment. This is what people want to see. This is how you get more fans. And I think with the shot in the arm, yeah, that's good. From a promotion standpoint, and they just started. I don't know what they have in mind, but they need to really step up their branding.
I think they absolutely do. And it all starts, it all finishes with the performance on the field, but there are a lot of ways they can improve marketing and getting engagement for all of their sports. And that's, it's kind of what I was saying earlier at the top of the show. It's just kind of a low point for all of these things. It's like, where do we hang our hat with UCLA sports right now, especially at this major transition they're going through? And they got to find something. Some place to, kind of plant their flags, and hopefully we're going to see a turnaround with the football team, but we'll see. It's probably, a work in progress. Hopefully Cronin gets it together with the basketball team and we don't have another year, like the reload year they had this past year. Hopefully UCLA women's basketball can capitalize on all the talent they have at some point, right? They're building. You made an argument a few minutes ago about how they're still, even though they didn't get where they wanted to this year, they're still building, right? But man, we got to have something to kind of bring it back, especially, and I think it helps that UCLA is, on one hand, they are one of the teams in one of the major conferences now, that there's nothing, you can't take that away. And so if they can get it together and get everything aligned right, they could be every bit of a power in the Big Ten as anybody else, depending on what sport and how we're talking about. Like, they could be a really successful school if they get it together, but they ain't done it in a while. And they also could continue to kind of spiral downwards into the form of some sort of also ran, you know, and we don't want that either, right? So let's hope that, you know, this is they're spiraling up instead of spiraling down, because man, oh man, it's been a rough year. Sometimes it's hard to be a Bruin.
Sometimes, most times.
Anyways, Mikey, there's your very optimistic end to the spring football segment. We'll see what's going on. You're going to go out to practice on Saturday. Hopefully have
some
fun.
I'm going to see these guys for my own eyes. I'm going to see what they're made of.
Yeah.
Do they pass the Regalado standard of excellence?
We'll find out.
Stick around.
Yeah, stick around. So with that being said, do you have anything else you want to talk about before we get to what's real with you?
No, I think that's good. I think they're all right.
All right. Well, then let's do that then.
What's brewing with you?
You ask me.
What's brewing with me?
Yeah.
What's brewing with you? What's brewing with me? What's brewing with
you?
Maggie, you've had a whirlwind of the last couple of weeks. What's going on?
Yeah, I'm tired, man.
What's brewing with you?
Well, first sucky thing is that there's something going on with my car.
Bummer.
It's not great. It's not horrible. I hope. Hopefully this isn't like a greater than $500 situation. So hopefully my car's okay.
I got my fingers crossed for you, buddy.
I have stuff to do. I'm a busy guy.
Yeah.
You know, I have things. But you know, it's just getting back to work this week for me. Actually, I was off last week. But yeah, April's just going to be busy. I'm just freaking planning, you know, obviously spring ball is here. We're going to have the spring game. Two of my daughters are in two separate, performances at school. They're both in this, they're outside of school dance troupe. Violet, who's an eighth grader, she's going on her eighth grade trip, later in the month. And, yeah, that brought about, me and her mom finally, you know, me finally saying, hey, she needs a phone, especially since she's going to be on the other side of the continent, with her school. Now I did this eighth grade trip when I was in eighth grade, obviously eighth grade. I freaking loved it. And I hope she has a fantastic time too, but I didn't have an iPhone. She does now too. We can, yeah, like she was very happy. She got her first phone this weekend, and I'm like, yeah, I'm happy for you, but I'm laying down the rules. Hey, did you check out the camera? Yeah, you better not be using this all night long. You know, it's just stuff like that. Obviously, we're putting on the, you know, parental.
You have to have guidelines, Mike.
Oh, I have already told her, you know, I already told her too. Look, this is your phone, but you need to share your phone with your siblings because of whatever reason, you know, teach them to be smart. You need to be smart. Show us you can be smart. And obviously, you know, just with, you know, I imagine as you did when you got your girls, your kids, their first phones, just how strict you were on it. And, yeah. You know, luckily my kids, like even with my phone or my iPad, they're not like on social media or the internets and all that. They like all of my Photoshop apps and their drawing apps. That's where their interest is. So I don't mind that. But I'm definitely not going to put the Twitters or the Instagrams on there. She has to earn that. But still, it's a step in the right direction. And God damn it, my daughter's going to be an adult before I know it.
Pretty crazy, bro.
It's nuts, dude. So that's what's brewing with me. What's brewing with you?
Well, it's been a busy couple of weeks for me too, Mikey, and I'm just trying to get it all squared away. But this Saturday is the opening of the LA Grizzlies football season once again. Of course, the LA Grizzlies are, it's the official football team of the LA Sheriff's Department, and I run that every year in the springtime, playing the National Public Safety Football League. And we are taking on the San Bernardino Spartans this Saturday out at San Bernardino Valley College, out there in the 909 or the 951 or whatever it is at 6:30 p.m. So if you're out that way and you want to stop by and hopefully watch the Grizzlies beat the crap out of the Spartans, then come on out. I think it's probably something they'll probably charge like $5 or $10 admission, I imagine. It's not our home game. It's a road game. Open up on the road. And then we have three more games in May. One of them is going to be in Nashville, which is going to be pretty fun, against the old Roanoke Rampage. So It's always a busy time of year with my football schedule, but it's fun to do. I like doing it. And we, let the deputies and firemen pretend that they're still football players, and then we raise money for charity, and it's a fun time is had by all. So LA Grizzlies, 6:30 p.m., San Bernardino Valley College, this Saturday night. Be there. That's all I got, Mike.
Nice.
So, anyhow.
Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. So, Mikey, I'm sorry. We will be back next week. We'll get a football spring report from you. If you guys have anything to say out there, give us on the hotline, 805-399-4WBS. Segar and Troy. Thank you very much. And I guess, Mikey, until next time, what do we say to the people?
Go, Bruins.
Good evening.
Smoke 'em if you got 'em.
That was the What's Brewing Show.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Dude, bro, we play some ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.